Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Children's Encyclopedia of Earth by Michael Albee, 2006, generalized coffee table book, textbook, into different sections about Earth. We're into section number 3, episode 3, entitled Inside Earth. So we've done the Earth and space, the history of Earth, and now we're looking actually inside Earth. And we hear, story here, and even as I first opened the page, they show convection current. And indeed, we no longer believe that there's a convection current. That's changed our belief on it. So it's a journey to the centre. And they have a picture of the crust. It's a thin, brittle crust broken by long cracks. It's varies thickness between 8 to 70 kilometres. The mantle, the Earth's mantle, is hot and solid, but subtle enough to move slowly beneath the thin crust and push around. The outer core is made of liquid iron and moves in big circles. In fact, we actually know it moves in cylinders. The inner core, although hot, the Earth's inner core is solid because of the incredibly high pressure. And it's iron and nickel. We actually know it's a single crystal by looking at the sound waves. So the important thing is that we can actually see sound waves. I think this is not scale. I think they have to go. Now, we've got something else here. The lithosphere. The lithosphere is the crust and upper part of the mantle. It really is the actual, they've got this really complicated here. They've got this completely wrong. They've got convection currents in the asthenosphere. Okay, so they're saying here there's only convection currents in the upper mantle. This is completely not correct. Earth's heat engine. The immense heat of Earth's core tries to escape into space. It sets up convection currents like those of boiling water. Warmer, lighter material rises and pushes against the crust, which sometimes cracks as the material loses heat and sinks to the hotter material rises to take its place. We now no longer think that's the case. If you read another book. Now, the actual other book is published before 2006, so really it should be resolved. It's unlike we're in the sort of fuzzy area outside academic presses. Here's a fast fact. You cannot travel to the centre of the Earth. The pressure would squeeze you, heat would cook you before you reach the mantle. The deepest you can go is 2 kilometres into the Konya Valley at Georgia. So when Georgia is, I don't know where that actually means. I think it's 48 minutes if you duck a hole on Earth and let the gravity pull you across. It's 48 minutes regardless of where you go. Here goes the text. About 4.6 billion years ago, Earth was a fiery ball of liquid melted rock. As it slowly cooled, the strength of the Earth and gravity pulled the heaviest elements, such as iron, towards the centre, while the lighter elements, including oxygen and silicon, floated to the surface. Eventually, the Earth separated into four layers. At the centre is a heavy iron core made up of two distinct parts, a solid inner core and a liquid outer core. Around the core is a lighter mantle layer made of many mainly of a green gemstone called overline. Well, that's an interesting thing, which is often carried towards up from the mantle to the surface by erupting lava. Is it? I don't know. I didn't think so. But so overline. I'll see if I can research that one. See if I can remember that one. A brittle rocky crust floats on top of the mantle. It does float. The ocean floor and the continents on which we live make up the Earth's thin, hard crust. It should be noted that continental crust is lighter still, so we're actually in a sandberg. The Restless Earth, it's called, and they have got addicted to this convection current story, which is we now know is not true. It's pretty amazing. Restless Earth. At the Earth's centre lies a tremendous powerhouse, a blistering hot core. Heat from the core bakes the rock directly above it, in the mantle. They should have sort of say it's nuclear powered. As the mantle cooks, the hot liquid rocks, called magma, rises like bubbles in boiling water. I think this is deeply, deeply confused. They should actually point out that solid core has got uranium in it, and the uranium's cooking, and as the uranium cooks, it produces helium gas. Core parts sink, but they are reheated by the core and soon rise again. Constant cycle forms convection currents. Well, we now know this is not to be true, so this is pretty amazing. But this is a book out there that any kid can pick up, and they'll sit in your class and say, look, this is true. I've got this book. How dare you tell me anything different from it? Magma moving in a convection current pushes and tugs the Earth's crust. Again, that's not true. After the Earth formed, these movements cracked and the crust and turned into a giant jigsaw puzzle. The puzzle pieces are called tectonic plates and carry the world's plate tectonics, it's called, and they carry the world's oceans and land meshes. When magma oozes up between two plates, the plates separate, but they can travel only so far before they crash into other plates. The collisions cause earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. Well, under the surface, convection currents indicated by red arrows stretch and squeeze the crust. Where the plates separate, ocean ridges, rift valleys appear. The plates smash into each other, mountains, volcanoes and undersea valleys form. But we now know the convection currents is not the true story. It's more that the heavier mantle just sinks and pulls itself across. There's no major movement of convection currents. So that's an interesting thing. But it's said in such a strong way that contradict it, or how do you say anything against it? This is big things. So they've got a big slice of the Earth's surface, and they're showing convection currents, and they're showing things not to scale. Okay, so you've got the curvature of the Earth, and relative to here, it's 100 kilometres thick, the mantle and various things. Okay, so they say, when plates separate, ocean ridges and rifts valleys appear. Where plates smash into each other, mountains, volcanoes, and undersea valleys form. Well, yeah, when two continental plates, two tectonic plates crash into each other, they can go underneath. Mm-hmm. Okay, undersea collision. When the ocean plates collide under the sea, one or both descend. This creates a line of volcanoes along a deep trench, like the Mariana Trench. There you go. There's a hot current, which is not true, mid-ocean ridge. Rising and spreading convection currents force the plates apart. Basalt erupts along the underwater and makes the new crust. So you should mention that basalt is a melt. But I wonder what alkaline is. Hotspot volcanoes. Rising magma breaks through the weak spots of the crust and builds hotspot volcanoes. That's the Hawaiian Islands in Australia. There's a big story. Lord Howe Island and Pyramid Rock are beautiful examples of it. And of course the mantle range. Coastal collision. When the ocean and continents collide, the heavier volcanic tectonic plates is pushed under, or what we now believe is it's just dragged under because it's heavier and it actually pulls the entire plate with it. Sliding plates. When plates move sideways, and they should actually just put arrows here, but it's not here. It's a transform fault. Along one another, form of straight fault lines, such as San Andreas Fault, which I should say is in California. Jerky movements releases earthquake energy as earthquakes. I should say it's like the rock. It's got a springiness to it. Continental Rift. Rising currents and separate currents and form a rift valleys. These widen and eventually are flooded by sea. Okay. Folding crust. When continental crust collides, they cannot push beneath one another. The edges buckle and fold into giant ranges such as the Himalayan mountains. Perhaps to say they're showing the various, Wallace Line. I really wanted to remember that. Okay, this is page 52, continents on the move. This crust is on the move. Until recently, geologists did not have proof of this. The early theories of continental drift fell on deaf ears, Alfred Wegener. Nevertheless, there were many things that could not be explained unless the continents were much joined, such as finding similar plants and animals on the southern continents, and the surprising Esau fit of South America and Africa. I think they had that way back in Galileo's time. In 1910, a German scientist, he's Danish. Well, I don't know, Alfred Wegener. Is he German? I just have to remember. Well, I'll have to go back and remember. Notice that continents looked like puzzle pieces and suggested they once formed a single continent. In 1960, scientists using underwater mapping equipment discovered long ridges under the ocean where the Earth's crust had been pulled apart. The idea of continental drift began to be accepted. Well, a land apart. The exploring Indonesia in 1850, Alfred Wallace saw the animals in Java and Sumatra and Borneo were different from those in New Guinea and Australia. Although he could not explain it, Wallace discovered the dividing line between the Eurasian and Asian plates. Because there has never been a land bridge between the two plates, the animals across most species remain separated. There we go. Moving history. For millions of years, movements of the Earth's tectonic plates have been shrinking and enlarging the seas and separating and joining continents. 4.6 to 4.2 billion years ago, the Earth grows in size from meteorite comet strikes. Heavy materials sink to the core. 4.2 to 3.8 years ago, as the impacts lessen, the Earth cools and forms a solid crust. Water vapor from volcanoes and comets condenses in oceans. Yep. 270 billion years ago, the time of the first reptiles and stuff, the landmass joins and forms an enormous supercontinent, Pangaea, surrounded by a single ocean. 200 million years ago, Pangaea starts to break up, and the first two supercontinents, Laurasia and Gondwana, in the south. So we're from Gondwana land. Now it says today. Today the Atlantic Ocean is widening, America is drifting away from Europe and Africa. 50 million years from now, Atlantic Ocean continues, and the Pacific closes, bringing North America closer to Asia. Africa collides with Europe and closing the Mediterranean. Of course, the Mediterranean will eventually close and form a big valley, a big little seal off completely. That's an interesting thing. So if I could just really remember, so first life is 600 million years ago, multicellular life, first complex cell life is 600 million years ago, 550 million years ago is multicellular organisms, 400 you've got a plant, for 370 land animals coming across, and just trying to remember, and so the dinosaurs sort of came and went. Hi, by folds and faults. The immense pressure of plate movement under the surface can snap even the toughest rocks. Cracks between shifting rock layers are called faults. You can see small ones in the rock faces and the road cuts. Large faults extend for hundreds of miles. The types of faults that form depends on the way the rocks move. rocks pull apart, one slips downwards. This is called a normal fall. When rocks are pushed together, one side usually rides up over the other, creating a reverse fall. Sometimes rocks slide past each other in opposite directions and different speeds. This creates a lateral or transform fault. All three occur along a major fault line. The ocean meets the continents. It's got here, and it's got a picture of a, I must admit, I dislike the way they've drawn this. It looks as though there's no reason for the volcanoes to form in an ocean. Ocean meets continent. When ocean plates collide with continental plate, it slides underneath the continent and melts. Rising molten rock pushes through the continental plate and forms volcanoes, i.e. that it becomes, it basically puts flux, which lowers the melting temperature and creates pressure. And this pushes up and the actual hot rock overland. It's got a higher conductivity than the sandstone. So sandstone's basically a insulator. So your volcanoes form this way with pressure up that way. Ocean meets ocean. When two ocean plates collide, the denser one slides underneath the other. Since the plates, sinking plate melts, the rising molten rocks builds a line of islands called a volcanic arc. I suppose that must be so. But there's no reason for it, the hot rock to rise more particularly. It's more the chemical flux going in. They don't really understand it. Gunung Sindoro are one of the hundreds of volcanoes in the Indonesia arc. They were formed when the Australian plate melted beneath the Pacific plate. Kinds of faults. Tectonic plates meet one another in different ways, pushing together, converging, sliding or moving away, diverging. Himalayan mountains, when two continental plates crash together, they do not sink. Their edges buckle high in the air in the mountain ranges. Andrew's fault. If two plates slide along each other, the sliding movement is rough and sudden tugs cause a big earthquakes. African Rift Valley, continent is pulled apart. Deep cracks slowly widen and pulled apart. Mid-Atlantic Ridge, the continents move apart. Well, okay. It's more of the plates, the small flux being pushed in. Eventually the ocean forms with a spreading ridge down its mantle. That's quite really interesting to think about what's going on. Okay, now rocks. Rocks around you are slow motion roller coaster. Oh, okay. It should be important to say that a rock is a composition, a jigsaw puzzle of different minerals. I would say that. Geological forces thrust them up the mountains, throw them into the air as molten rock, breaks them into bits and pieces, and plunges them deep underground. During the turbulent ride, three kinds of rock appear. When molten rock cools, igneous rock is formed. When the rock on the Earth's surface is pummeled into pieces by waves and broken by ice and scattered by bits of other rocks, the fragments settle in layers and become sedimentary rocks. Meanwhile, deep inside the Earth, fierce temperatures and intense pressures cook and squeeze the rock, transforming it into metamorphic rocks. I actually rather think that's a nice, beautiful saying. How rocks form. Rocks are made, destroyed and rebuilt in a perpetual rock cycle. Erosion wears down the mountains and volcanoes, then rivers carry sediment to the sea. The sediment in the sea floor is pushed into the subduction zone, where it melts to provide lava for the volcanoes to complete the rock cycle. That's the entire thing. That is, the sedimentary rock, it forms the flux, which lowers the melted temperature to form our volcanoes. Pretty interesting. Name that rock. Look at the rocks around you. Do they have big and small crystals? Do they have flat, straight beds? Whatever that means. Are their layers folded or twisted? These are clues to the rock's origin. Sedimentary rocks. Consists of minerals or rocks and pieces that have been eroded, transplanted, and then deposited and solidified together. Well, cemented together may be the better way of saying it. So, for some reason, they've got milky quartz as a sedimentary rock. That's just disgusting. Okay, granite, igneous rock. This interlocking mineral crystals. The crystals are big if the rock has been slowly underground or microscopic, therefore it's metamorphic. Metamorphic rock has folded wavy bands of minerals. What? That are stretched out from strong pressure and high temperature. You can have a metamorphic. That's just weirdo, God. So you can metamorphize either. You can't metamorphize metamorphic. You can make metamorphic rock more metamorphic. You can get the things they're talking about, which is slate, which is sedimentary rock, which has undergone metamorphosis, or igneous rocks where the crystals have grown. So this is just deeply, deeply confused. Really poor quality geology here. Okay, they've got a picture here. Molten rock cools and hardens to form igneous rock. Okay. Heat and pressure underground creates metamorphic rocks. That's good. Rocks is broken down and swept away by erosion. Rocks and mud deposited at the river deltas and on the sea floors. Plate movements pull sediments underground. That's good. Continental crust, ocean crust, mantle, river and ocean deposits, sedimentary layers. Yeah, they should put this up. Newborn igneous rocks is cooled by the ocean as lava flows to the edge. Hawaii, sedimentary rocks in Arizona. Alps formed when the TCs are squeezed against your razor plate. The rocks change pressure. I think it's T-E-T-H-S. It's overland and TH. I think this is incorrect because I think the TC is under the Himalayas, but don't ask me. Okay, igneous rocks. Igneous rock or fire rock comes from cooling magma. As molten rock cools, tiny crystals grow and get bigger. What? Oh, that's disgusting. The more time igneous rock has to cool, the bigger crystals grow. That is true. The world's largest crystals have been found in pegmites. These are even bigger than a car. Lava erupts into the Earth's surface and cools quickly and has tiny crystals. Igneous rocks can be it is often used for building roads. There's a picture here. Oh, here's banded obsidian. That's just interesting. Obsidian may be banded. This is if thick lava flows a bit before cooling. Oh, well, that's interesting. That would be really interesting. So obsidian is a glass, and so glass is not a crystal. This pumice, just shown here for no reason. Grabo, ignite, banded obsidian. Where there's a glassy, brittle obsidian breaks to pieces with razor-sharp edges. And so essentially flint, I should have said flint. Addison, kimberlite erupts from deep inside the Earth's mantle and sometimes brings diamonds and crystals with it. Rhyolite, made of the same material as granite. Well, it's small crystals because the lava has cooled quickly. I don't know whether you could say that granite is, I don't know whether granite is an igneous rock or a vesicular basalt, a common fine-grained grey rock, cooled, sometimes as full of gas bubbles. Volcanic tuft, obsidian lava, is high in silica and makes the flow slowly like thick soup. There you go. Look inside, basalt. When sliced, basalt shows short and long grained crystals surrounded by fine grained minerals. That's interesting. Grabo, this is the same composition as basalt, but with much bigger crystals because it's cooled slowly underground, which, my friend, I don't know. I would class that, cooling it slowly underground. No, I don't know. I suppose is cooling slowly underground means being heated. I don't know, I'd call that a metamorphic rock. Pegmite cools slowly and so it can have crystals. I tell you what I love is those crystals of in quartz, the rutile crystals in quartz. I love that. Serpentine is a green rock that has been squeezed along the edges of colliding continents. So if it's been squeezed, I'd call it metamorphic. I don't know what you're calling it. Grabo, dark-coloured rock made of coarse crystals. Granite made of large crystals, cooled slowly from magma below the Earth's surface. Andesite is formed from thick soup-like lava that erupted from volcanoes on the edges of the tectonic plates. Granite a second time. Have we got two granites? Pretty pink feldspar crystals from granite look different from white granite. Thank you very much. So there you go. That should be it. Now, Paulsite meteorite. What? How does a meteorite get in there? Rock, rich in nickel and iron, this meteorite came from the core of an exploded planet. Oh, and so you'd say the iron is iron sulfide. I just... I think that's bizarre they put it there. Volcanic plugs are like ducts and columns of igneous rock that were part of a volcano. I paid that one. Molten rock that cooled in the old volcano's vent is much harder than the soft volcanic cone. Eruption of magma rises to the surface, erupts through an active volcano. The main vent is built at a steep sided cone of ash and lava. Extinction. The volcano eventually becomes extinct. And the magma cools inside the vent, hardening from the top down to a solid igneous rock. Erosion erodes the extinct volcano sides. They carry away the soft ash and the cone uncover a hard lava formation called plugs. So you'd do Puget Sound and Puerto Rico and of course the Glasshouse Mountains. There's a fair number of plugs, volcanic plugs sitting around Australia. So I don't know how they get igneous. They're really getting along the metamorphic into my band of things. Sedimentary rocks. Sedimentary rocks made from grains of rocks or minerals from older rocks that are broken down and forced weathering erosion. This loose mineral is called sediment. Running water and ice carry large amounts of the sediment. Large rivers can move boulders. If the journey of the river is long, rocks can end up quite rounded. Eventually, the sediment reaches the lake or ocean, where it settles in a layer, which is fine like pieces travelling further. Sediment that arrives later buries the original layer, and in time, all material naturally is cemented together. Well, and compressed in solid rock. It's similar, the sort of nanoparticles, which are rich in iron, and reduce the flux temperature. So it forms a cement. You know, I hate that one. I really would actually say, look, how are you going to make a glue? You add things together and heat it up and fire it up. It's like making a toffee or something like that. Banded ironstone. Ancient rocks, it's made of layers of red chert and grey hematite. Okay, and it's overland. Okay, flint spearheads. What the heck? Flint is a volcanic glass, which you carefully flint from sharp edge. Oh, that's good. What the heck is going on? A flint is a glass. It's an igneous rock. Prehistoric ironstone. Brecker. Well, brecker is sedimentary and volcanic rock together. Brecker consists of sharp rocks and pieces that erupted from a volcano and then cemented into a rock. This is deeply confused. My God, how can you put brecker in sedimentary rock? No wonder people got no hope. Shale. Shale is sometimes have brown bands caused by rusty water seeping inwards. Oh, gee, that's deeply, deeply confused. So shale is metamorphosized sedimentary rock. Looking inside, Sandstone has been sliced thinly and viewed through a polarizing microscope to see the structure. It's composed of partly rounded quartz granite. Oh, the heck, just get a normal piece of sandstone out and you'll run. I should have explained a sandstone story. Okay. Banded jasper. Prehistoric flint tools. This is outrageous. A Brekka pebble. The rounded river pebble of Brekka is perhaps is becoming a part. Why don't you actually show there is very little sediment rocky? Limestone. Calcium carbonate shells and tiny shell creatures are clearly seen in this piece. So limestone is a sedimentary rock. Okay, I'll pay you that one. Evaporite. This mineral like rock, salt and gypsum as lakes and seas dry out. It's called evaporites. Could you call evaporites sedimentary rocks? I don't know. A chort, a shale, sandstone. Well, my God, the sandstone is what you call it. This is the entire problem here, that they, that metamorphics can sort of grade in. There's no distinct layer. What point to, so sandstone is metamorphized sand. It's been heat treated. Canyons like the Grand Canyon, Cut and Colorado River in the USA are excellent places to see layers of sedimentary rock. Harder layers stand out clearly as steep cliffs, while the softer layers erode more to more gentle slopes. Okay, well that's poorly explained. That should be hard and soft. Canyons form. Tectonic activity lifts the land surface above the sea level, giving rivers plenty of energy to cut downwards through the rocks. The canyon deepens, the river cuts down through the sedimentary layers to form a narrow deep canyon's steep size. Canyon widens as the soft layer of rocks erode and are undercut, widening the canyon, so this causes the harder layers to, on top, to collapse or to fragment off. Good God. Okay. Now on to metamorphic rocks. You can imagine, you're going in to teach, and you've got relatively bright students who have bothered to listen, and they're reading this. Below the surface, rocks are continually changing from one kind to another in the Earth's gigantic pressure cooker. They do not melt, but change slowly while staying solid. This is called metamorphism. Not much seems to happen at first, but then the crystals are heated, the rock joins to grow larger. Crystals change. Metamorphic rocks are quartzite and marble, although we were told previously here are tougher and stronger than the rocks that form them. Flat minerals such as mica regrow, turning flat sides towards the pressure to form slate. This is the entire thing, is that slate is those flat crystal layers. Very high temperature and pressures, new minerals such as garnets grows. Now, overland garnets, I have to think, to the skarn, a ray-like crystals of a skarn formed when sandy limestone was strongly heated. Banded gneiss, G-N-E-S, I love that word. This is recognized, this rock has thick, strongly folded bands of black marker and white feldspar, but, yeah, bloody hell. Amphalite, is of volcanic basalt and black amphal minerals that have been heated and squeezed. Quartzite, this rock is tougher than sandstone parent because quartz grains have joined together. Microse quartzite, clay mixed with the original quartz sandstone caused mica to grow in the quartzite. So basically clays, the more metal you have, the quartz. That's a general moving from high silica content to high metal content, which makes you these metal materials. Arite coal. So coal is metamorphic rock, mate. Is the highest quality coal and has been heated and well squeezed. It is actually silvery, but beautiful coal. Firelight. Originally, flat layers of shale rocks were bent in pressure and highly folded bends of firelight. Beautiful thing. Skarn. We've got a second skarn over here. Contains calcite and is often rare metal-bearing minerals. Ruby shredded sort of marbles. You should say the gemstones actually form metamorphic rocks. White marble. So, marbles are sandstones, aren't they? Sorry, limestones. Formed from superheated limestone, marble is used for building and carving. Garnet schist. Large red garnet crystals scattered throughout the rock. White markers and schists. Bowtite schists. Layers of rock formed by pressure force the microcrystals to grow in one direction. I do like marker. Oh dear. Metamorphism. Sometimes rocks change. There are two ways rocks can metamorphize or change: intense pressure, like being squeezed in a giant vat, by intense heat and being cooked by blowtorch. I'd say more just. Well, a metamorphic rock would, you'd have to say, would be pottery. There you go. Shale, sandstone, limestone. Why? Why it's in that layer. Flat layers, sedimentary layers lie flat and straight, and squeezing begins. We have to know that this person has. I don't know why they put this here. Sometimes rocks change when they are squeezed and pushed up into mountains to force deep earth. Folds and intense squeezing force layers tightly in crumpled rocks. So that's making. Magma rises to the surface and cooks the surrounding rocks. It hardens the new minerals. So magma. Marble, quartzite, and hornfels. So this is rather nice. So sandstone is quartzite, and shale, I have to work out what shale is. I think shale is a metamorphic rock. I have to look at it myself. Go over it again. This is all part of the brain training. Going across rocks and the landscape. Different kinds of rocks in the landscape are easy to recognize. Flat sedimentary layer rocks. Canyons, cliffs look different from the pointed cones of volcanoes. Or the folded metamorphic cliffs in a mountain range. Gosh. Water, wind and ice change the landscape by eroding softer rocks away from the harder ones. Granite is polished into smooth, rounded hills and mountains, while old basalt volcanoes, necks and lava flows form spectacular cliffs or straight pipe-like columns. The Grand Canyon. Cut in the landscape of Colorado River, the Grand Canyon, USA, is the largest desert canyon. The layered, why did they do the Blue Mountains here or an Aussie here? The layered canyon walls are like pages of the giant rock that date back more than 2 billion years. Follow the canyon's history, read the labels at the bottom of the illustration. Okay, this is interesting. They've got the Zoroaster granite. This is reading from the bottom up. So that's 2 billion years. That's amazing. Zoroaster granite. This layer pushed its way into the Vishnu schist and cooled slowly before the old mountain ranges eroded. Vishnu schist, the canyon's oldest rocks formed in the mountains range, pushed up when the two continents collided 2 billion years ago. That's a bloody long time ago. Tapiz sandstone, remains of sand of a sandy beach that formed in the sea, rose over the eroded Vishnu landscape. 560, so we're getting life. Bright angel shale, formed from the fine sands of grey salt and mud. Sea level rose over the Tapir pebbles. So a shale, which I think is correct, is actually is more like clay, less sandy sandstone. Mahava limestone is formed from the shells and sea creatures, and that's 520. So that's 520 corresponds with sea life coming up. And the temple butt limestone, the sea at its highest level, and the life thrived in the warm waters. So this is, you know, complex life coming on. So the invention of multicellular stuff around 450. That's good, corrected. Red wall limestone formed from seashells, tiny creatures that died and fell to the seafloor. The sepal group formed as the sea shallowed and rivers caused mud and sand on top of an earlier limestone. Okay. Hermit shale formed from rivers brought silt and mud from the Delta Mountains. Okay, where can you get that? Kronika sandstone. This is getting at the edge of the Blue Mountains up here. Well, our Blue Mountains are, 300. So we're relatively, you know, we're a relative baby. We are moving. You've had 2 billion years to do your Grand Canyon. We're second biggest in no time whatsoever. Konko sandstone, formed by desert sands when the sea was level. So the sand just blew into it. Toro weep sandstone, formed from sand deposited as the sea rose over the Konko desert. Okay, so there's the desert. Kaab limestone, the youngest layer, the tiny seashells and fossils. Again, so the sea goes across and then the whole thing goes up and it cuts down. Very interesting to read through that at a time. Using rocks, of course. I can't see, well, this is about the earth, but we're going to talk about using rocks. Humans, and the important thing is that igneous rocks is the glass, the flint, the big glass balls of blobby glass got punched out of volcanoes. People picked them up and made stone tools out of them. Humans have long used rocks for tools and for building. Flint and volcanic rock are ideal for tool. I think flint is volcanic rock making because they break with sharp edges. Great monuments such as the pyramid, palaces and temples were built with granite, marble, slate, sandstone and limestone, which is the pyramids of limestone. Slate can be split into thin layers and used for roofing and paving. Clay and shale are mined, shaped and fired in ovens to make bricks. Recently, other building materials have been developed, including glass, steel, to replace stone and bricks in modern structures. However, polished slabs of granite and marble still decorate important buildings. Making flint tools. Early humans made stone tools 2.5 million years ago to help them hunt for animals. You'd have to say, you have to tell them that they're not modern humans. But they're showing them here. Unfortunately, you've got here people wearing clothes, picking up rocks. Oh, I don't know. About 50,000 years ago, humans learned to make better tools with fire. Rocks are buried in the sand and fire is lit over the top. Okay. Sharp edges are made when the stone splits in two. Fast fact. Well-made knives and other tools were highly prized by early humans. Deflected edges of flint chips can be as sharp as steel. Doesn't make sense. They are not long-lasting, however, because flint is brittle and the edges break. Building Stonehenge. Early inhabitants created stone rings in Stonehenge about 5,000 years ago. England's early inhabitants. Okay. The first pillars and lintels were cut from hard local sandstone. I beg to differ. If you call Wales local, I suppose you can say that. Later ones were made by dolerite bobbots. There you go. Dolerites bought from Wales. So what's this? The first pillars or lintels were cut from hard local sandstones. Later ones made, lives were used, to lift the pillars into holes. The pillars were pulled with ropes to stand perfectly straight. The lintel was shifted from the platform to the upright pillars. Oh, so it's into the top thing. So let's see. Who's lintel? Pyramid of the Magician. The Mayans started building a pyramid at the start of the Magicians, Uxmal, Mexico, about 1,400 years ago. It was made of stone in five stages over 300 years. Each time, a new big pyramid was built on top of the old one. That's interesting. Taj Mahal is made of white marble, decorated with gems, and built in the mid-1600s. Is that true by the Emperor Shah Jahan, the monument for his wife? So it's ovaling. Just have to re-research. The pyramid has an unusual oval shape, six sides, and two temples at the top. Well, thanks for telling us its unusual oval shape. Minerals. Look closely at rocks and you will notice it's made up of tiny pieces of one or more minerals. Minerals are the building blocks of rocks. They should say that right up the front. They are solid chemical substances that occur naturally in the Earth's crust. They are made of chemicals called elements. They are made up of chemicals called elements. That is just really bad. Minerals that contain only one element are called a native element. There are thousands of different minerals. They come in all colours, shapes and sizes, include metals such as gold, silver, as well as valuable gemstones such as diamond. Minerals, which is also one element. Minerals may form regular flat-shaped core crystals. Often crystals of different minerals grow together forming rocks. Oh, that's just appallingly explained. When minerals have plenty of space to grow, they form large, beautiful crystals. Absolutely no way. You're pretty... What a knob. That really upsets me. Colour. Some minerals are always one unmistakable colour, while others, such as fluorite, may have many different elements or impurities. Other mineral cause colour variation. So this is a different fluorite. Oh no, we've got rhodochrosite. I wonder if it's rhodium. Malachite, which is dark green. No, malachite is not. Oh, that really upsets me. Oh, these are distinctly different colours. Okay, alright. So it's a two-statement thing. The one is the different things, or a different thing. So you've got yellow, green, yellow, and purple fluorite, means flow. And you've got rhodite, which is rose, malachite, which is green, which is copper carbonate, and sulfur, which is a pure thing. Habit. Habit is a shape formed by mineral crystals. Like a person, crystals can have short, flat, tall, thin, and somewhere in between. So they've got copper, which is tree-like, can be tree-like, bloody hell. Garnet, equal-sided. Luster describes how the surface of the rock may be shiny, glassy, waxy, or plain dull. The brightest luster is that of diamond. Armorite, turquoise is waxy, calcite is vitreous, galena is metallic, asbestos is silky, there you go, and kaolinite is dull. So kaolinite, I don't know what that means. Fluorescent minerals. A few minerals, such as fluorite and opal, glow beautifully when invisible light is shown to them. Well, I'll have to get my UV light out. Earth's crust. About 90% of all the minerals found on Earth's surface are silicates, the building blocks of rocks. Okay. Crystal systems. Minerals are grouped into six systems based on the shape of their crystals. Velschlag, right? Is tetragonal, cubic, triclinic, which is hexagonal, monoclinic, which is sort of flat like a book, beryl, hexagonal, and orthorhombic, and barite. Transparency. Transparency how is easy to see through. So quartz is transparent, moonstone is semi-transparent, I love moonstone, Christo rays is translucent and opaque. That's where you get my scattering in it. Mohs hard scale from 1 to 10. We'll go through one fingernail, knife, a blade. Mohs scale is used for minerals from soft to hard to help determine the hardness of the minerals. If you scratch quartz against unknown material, the quartz leave a mark. The missing material is softer than quartz. You can also use the items on the right hand to test the hardness. So the Mohs scale allows you to identify the crystal by measuring the hardness. Very easy to go. Gosh, this is going to be a long... Ornamental minerals and crystals. Ornamental is the name given to attractive minerals and rocks that are not considered precious. Minerals including agate, chalcone, hematite, lapis lazuli are frequently used for carving and jewellery. Minerals mined to extract metals are called ores, and sometimes, like silver cubes of galena lead ore, can be very pretty. Ores are found in old mine dumps and collected with permission using from working mines. Some collectors specialise in beautiful crystals, common minerals like quartz, and rare ones like rhodochrosite. I wonder what that is. Other collectors prefer miniature specimens which are best seen in a microscope. Okay, lapis lazuli. Lapis lazuli was crushed into fine powder and mixed with oil to make a highly prized blue pigment used in early paintings. Ancient Egyptians used the powder for eyeshadows as well as antimony. Rare and expensive lapis lazuli was used rarely in paintings unless it was paid for by wealthy in this detail of the coronation of the Virgin painted in 1430. The robe of the church contained the pigment. Crystals, a rhodochrosite. Crystals of this mineral are rare collector's items. Go through here. Malachite, I love malachite. Talc, rock salt. I couldn't read it through. Copper, salt lakes. The mineral we call salt is used to flavour food is halite. Before refrigerators were invented, salt was used to preserve food and was valuable as gold. Halite. Well, okay. Halite is deposited on the floor of lakes when the water evaporates. Okay, well, I'll have to work out what halite is. Dry light in Death Valley can be crust evaporated salt. So what is halite? I'll have to remove that. Ovine and stuff like that. Coming up to page 22, precious and semi-precious. So we've got... I'm just not going to be able to read all this... Fossils, it'll be short one, but I've sort of run out of energy here at 52 minutes out. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll do episode 4. Thank you. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.